So today isn't only the first Sunday in Lent. It isn't only Presidents' Day weekend. It isn't only a day when a dozen roses all of a sudden cost four times what they did last week. No, today is also, according to the movie Ghostbusters 2, the end of the world. Dr. Peter Venkman, Ghostbuster, has his own TV show called World of Psychics. He's interviewing a woman who claims that an alien told her about the end of the world while she was staying at a Holiday Inn in Paramus. She was sitting at the bar when this alien approached her, bought her a drink, and told her that today, February 14th, 2016, would be the end of the world. The alien even gave her a detailed account of what that end would look like. So she spills the beans on Dr. Venkman's show, giving everyone a foretaste of what's to come. Now, aliens, ghosts, the end of the world, and Bill Murray. That's one entertaining narrative for what an unknown, for what a wilderness might look like. Because without that unknowing, without the unexpected and the unexplained, a wilderness can't really be a wilderness. Now, we probably all know what a Holiday Inn looks like. We might even have stayed in one once or twice. And if we all carpooled for a field trip after church and headed down Route 17, we would, in fact, find a Holiday Inn in Paramus. And when we walked through its front doors, headed into the hotel lobby, I'm sure the Holiday Inn would meet our expectations of what it should be like. But if it just so happens that we might meet an alien there, or discover that today is the end of the world, well, that Holiday Inn starts being a wilderness. It starts being a place where the unexpected happens. In fact, that Holiday Inn becomes a place where the only thing we can expect is the unexpected. So if we did head over to the Holiday Inn in Paramus after church, maybe we should take the time now to prepare ourselves for what might happen. Maybe we need to invite Peter Venkman and the rest of the Ghostbusters to come along. When we're about to face the unexpected, it makes sense to take stock of what we have and muster our strengths so that we're ready for whatever might come. And that's what our first reading from Numbers feels like. God orders the Israelites to take a census before they move on from their camp at the foot of Mount Sinai. They're going to discover just how many military fighting men they have available. The Israelites are about to take a new journey, heading into a new wilderness towards the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The people prepare themselves by counting their strengths because they have no idea what the future might bring. Now, in our reading, we heard, so brilliantly done by Noel, thank you, that each tribe is given a general and each tribe is counted. Everyone, minus the Levites, are counted to try and figure out how large an army they might have. Now, the number that's counted is huge, 600,355. And that doesn't include women, children, senior citizens, servants, and slaves. If we try to add those unknown people into this military number, we suddenly have millions of people marching through the wilderness. And this is mind-boggling. Since at this time, cities were considered huge if they had 10,000 people or more. Now, even if we think this number is accurate or if we think this number is impossible, our personal take on this number doesn't undo the vision of what is being laid out here. An entire people are on the move. Everyone is going. This army isn't just keeping an eye on itself, it's guarding, protecting, and leading this mass of humanity into a new place. The numbers are large because the magnitude of what's going on is massive. And these Israelites really have no idea what's coming up ahead. These lands were originally crossed by their ancestors, but for 400 years, Egypt is all they knew. They knew the Egyptian government. They ate Egyptian food. They lived as Egyptian slaves. But now they're free, heading into a place filled with people and dangers they don't know. They're heading into a wilderness. So they arm up, preparing themselves for whatever might come. And that whatever might just be the devil. But this devil might do more than just tempt them, might do more than tempt us to just do an unexpected thing. The devil might do more than invite us to make an immoral choice. This devil that we meet in the wilderness, that we meet in our unknowns and in places outside our comfort zones, this devil might try to do something even worse and get us to forget who we are. When a difficulty arises and our food runs short, or an opportunity to become rich and powerful shows up on our doorstep, we might forget who called us to enter this wilderness. We might fall back on ourselves, looking to our own strengths to overcome our fears. We might believe that we're here in this wilderness alone, with no need for the Ghostbusters or anyone else to help us. The devil's great trick, as we see in Luke 4, isn't when the devil tries to tempt us to make an immoral choice. The devil's great trick is trying to convince us that we're in our wilderness alone. The devil wants us to believe that God isn't with us in our wilderness. So as we take a step into our unknowns, into our new adventures, our new challenges, and even our new tragedies, when we believe that God isn't there, we forget who we are. We forget that we were made in God's image. We forget that we are loved. We forget that God didn't tell Moses to bring the people to a Holiday Inn, but took them straight into the wilderness, into their unknowns. God took them there because that's where God is too, in those unknown places and in our unknown journeys. Because God is too big to stay confined to only what we know. We head into the wilderness, into our fears, into that place where devils lie in wait. Because we know that God is there too. So when the Israelites move, God is with them. When they end up somewhere new, God is with them. When they face a new challenge, God is with them, right in the center of their formation. God is right beside them when some tragedy and loss makes them wonder just what they're going to do next. And even when faith is hard, God is right there because God knows that our lives are sometimes more wilderness than knowns. Jesus came to live and see our wildernesses firsthand. And when the devil tempted him to stop living that human life, he said no. He knew that a God in the wilderness means that we're never alone. Now, we might not have the Ghostbusters on speed dial. We might not have access to our own alien who knows just what's going to happen next. And we sadly might not have Bill Murray hanging out with us as much as we'd like. But we don't live our lives alone. Our wildernesses aren't places where only we are allowed to go. Our God is there with us too. And the way through the wilderness isn't easy. The path might be difficult and hard. We might need to take a bold new step to find out just exactly why Jesus brought us to this place. And we know this path forward isn't always clear. But we know that the one who's there with us is. This Jesus, a child of God, a child of Mary, who loves sinners enough to make us all struggling saints. Jesus is our known. Jesus is who we belong to. Being with Jesus is part of who we are. And no matter what wilderness we find ourselves in, even if it's in a Holiday Inn in Paramus, where we are, Jesus is too. Amen.